The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Yesterday and today I get up and there's more snow on the ground. It's like, God, I think winter is really here. As you heard, Billy Schmid, Baby Tausch, in other words, is here in the studio filling in today. Thanks, Billy. We do appreciate it.
No, no problem. Bud.
And
glad I could be here.
Do you love this weather? No. Oh, man, I'm telling you this. I guess winter is here, but it's not supposed to be here yet. We're supposed to be in fall yet.
Well, and the worst part about it is, I mean, because of the conversation, How will this go? It'll be cold for about 5 weeks. Right in about the middle of December, you start getting a nice little layer of ice onto the lake, and then we'll have a couple of days where it'll reach about 55 and sunny.
Yeah, which it should be now. But it should be. But anyway, this is the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. We come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m., we are live, we are unrehearsed, and we do take your phone calls for questions and comments at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. Or you can email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. And he's Danny Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. And Dan is, he's getting a cup of coffee or something. He's doing something right now. You got a caller on the line?
Yeah, we do. It's actually a fan personality, Kevin from Maple Ridge.
Oh, yes. Let's put him on. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, haven't talked to you in a while. How you doing?
Yeah, you know why? Because I've been sleeping quite a bit. And
yeah, well, we all have to do that, Kevin.
People don't know when to get me up, and I'm like, I couldn't find my call light this morning.
Yeah.
And I'm for the first time, Tom, and who we got? Tom, Dan,
and Billy.
And Billy. Oh, Billy, Baby Tausch.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Kevin?
Oh, very good, Baby Tausch. What's my good buddy Timmy doing?
Oh, he's living the dream. He was just out in Las Vegas. You ever go to Las Vegas, Kevin?
What?
You ever go to Las Vegas?
No.
Oh, Tim
they
was just
the,
out there.
Fights out there.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
A lot of them.
Is he blind like I am?
Yeah. So, Kevin, so what do you got for us today? You had a crappie question?
Yeah, I did. I had a crappie. How did the fish crappie get its name?
You know what they call crappies down south?
What?
They call them crappies. No, I'm serious.
Oh, really?
I'm serious. They call them crappie, not crappie.
Oh.
And they're not talking about how they taste, because they taste good. They don't taste crappy. But they call them crappies, yeah. But up here, up north, you know, we call them crappies. But how they got their name, I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
When I was, excuse me, when I was living with my dad, we would go fishing during the day over at Bass's Bay.
Oh, sure.
And he'd take me fishing, and he'd say, okay, hop, hop. Let's see if you can catch a fish. And he'd go, hop, hop, you know. And that would let him know.
Would that turn the fish on or something?
What's that?
Would that turn the fish on?
Yeah, I suppose it would.
Hey, Kevin, this is Bushy. Good to hear you again. Glad you called in. Hey, my dad used to sing in the boat.
What?
My dad, when he'd take me fishing, he'd sing. He'd sing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he'd make up crazy songs, but he'd just be. He was just happy because he was out in the boat with his boys.
Hey, Dan, you came out here, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I brought you that Cutting Edge Outdoors. I think I brought you a hat.
Yeah. What are you doing later? I'd like to meet Tom. Tom, what are you doing later?
I have to work.
We can. Yeah, he has to go to Sherper's. And, well, we'll see what we can maybe drag him out there sometime. Maybe when the weather gets warm again. You know, he's kind of a, he's like a big bear. He hibernates in the winter.
Well, Tommy, we'll get you out here for breakfast.
All right.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Hey, did you listen to that Packers Glory Years?
Yeah, I heard it.
That I brought you? Okay, cool.
Yeah, all right. I heard it.
That's good. That's a good one.
Kevin, you ever sing this in the boat? You remember when you sang this with us?
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember.
Yeah, I remember. I heard that, too.
Yeah. And what's that, Tom?
Yeah.
Now, what's that saying that they would always say to the kids or the gentlemen, fishy, fishy in a brook?
Come and bite my little hook.
That's my dad used to say, too.
Oh, wait. Fishy, fishy in the brook. Mama caught him by the hook.
Yeah, okay.
Baby fry him in the pan. And
what's the rest of it? I guess we...
Somebody eat him like...
Eat him like a man.
Yeah.
Well, we can't say that. That'd be sexist, though, Kevin.
That's right.
Eat him like a person.
Well, we got to eat him. What do you... Tom?
Yeah?
What are you doing tomorrow?
Oh, God. Tomorrow's what, Sunday? I'm going by my brother, Billy.
How long would that be?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, cause
I don't know, Kevin.
No, because I would get you out here tomorrow if I'm not doing anything.
Well, I got to go by my brother, Billy, in the morning. Then you got the Packers at noon.
Maybe they'll finally win.
And then I got to cook dinner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well.
Sunday, it's kind of all
Dad
set up.
Dad knows where I am.
All yep. right.
And, well, I really want to meet you.
Okay.
It was good meeting you, Dan.
Yeah, it was good talking to you, too, there. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're a real nice.
Don't be a stranger, guys, because
that sounds...
I'm here at Maple Ridge, and we got plenty of food for you all.
Yeah, and you got some pretty nurses out there, too.
I beg your pardon?
You got some pretty nurses out there, too.
Oh, yeah, we do, don't we?
Yeah, and they're pretty nice people.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, so they take good care of their people out there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they are.
All right, Kevin.
All right,
I think
Kevin.
We got to roll, buddy.
Yeah,
thanks for
run.
Listening, pal.
Thanks, okay. Kevin.
Take care, bud.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Morning, Danny.
Morning, buddy.
Hey,
I was worried because I got here and, you know, I had to just kind of get ready and get my coffee and use the restroom. And I was worried that, you know, I'm leaving you alone here, Tom, but it's good that... between Billy and Kevin, they carried you through the first couple minutes. They carried the load.
I didn't do anything.
That's right. Yeah. Danny, you had quite an experience again this weekend. You go hunting, and then you have problems.
We're going to save that for the second hour of the show,
okay,
Tom.
We'll save that. We should have
right
a segment called Danny's Weekend Problems.
Right now, I'm still psychologically scarred.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough for me to talk about it.
You got your truck back yet?
Yeah, I got it back.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad that. Who do you got on the line now, Billy? Jeez, people are calling.
This is Rich from Pewaukee.
People are up early today. Yeah. Good morning, Rich.
Hey,
how you doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, a couple of weeks ago, I phoned in and talked to you about that I'm a first-time muskie fisherman.
Yeah. Okay.
And I will tell you this. 3 weeks ago, I was up around the Nisita area. And with the 5 casts, I actually just landed a small northern. It was only about 32 inches. But
oh, that's a nice one, actually.
Well, for a first time.
Yeah.
So last Saturday, I'm out. In between there, I was trying to do a little bow hunting in that, so I didn't do the real musky thing. But last Saturday, about my 15 cast, I got this. It feels I'm very, very inexperienced. Very inexperienced with this, and I got feels like I got a snag, and here it's a nice musky. Probably in the mid-40s. I don't think it was 50 inches. But I'm on shore, and I got this thing, and it's flopping around in the rocks. And I what I have not been able to do yet is, just because that fish is on there, I have not learned to set the hook.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And I had that thing on, and it was rolling, and by the time I tried getting a net on it, it got off, and it was just kind of laying there, and I couldn't even do nothing. But it was for a, you know, supposedly it takes how many casts to
10,000.
Yeah.
10,000.
Well, rule.
So your tips helped a lot on this. I think I'm just really into the musky thing now. I actually got called this morning at 1 to do some salting, so I get out at 4:30 today, and then I'm heading to Nisida again, and I'm going to do some more musky fishing and bow hunting.
Rule number one I always tell clients when they get in the boat is I tell them, now when you're winding, if you feel anything, even if you think it's a weed, set the hook and wind like nuts, because if it's a weed, you rip it through the weeds, no big deal. If it's a fish, you set the hook into their mouth.
Yeah.
And I had that happen years ago where I had a guy and his 12-year-old kid out, and I just was trying to get him set up, and we just pulled the boat to the first spot. And we had fished the day before with clients all day long and had nothing. So I didn't anticipate anything really happening right away. So I gave this guy a rod, set up a bait, showed him how to cast. I said, here, now you go cast that side of the boat. I'm going to go help your son. And all of a sudden, he makes one cast, and I kind of hear him kind of grunt, and or I could just tell something was up, and I look, and his line is going sideways across the water, and he's just casually winding. That was right before the muskie rolled, and he never set the hook. He just kind of kept leisurely winding, but I never bothered telling him because I didn't expect he'd have a fish on his first goddamn cast.
It's exactly right.
Well, you're hooked now, so.
Hey, but one more question. When you have one on for a bit, are those fish just gone, or will they have a tendency to go back in there wherever they were, and you have an opportunity to catch them again? Or
sure.
Okay.
Yeah. There's been stories where guys would repeatedly maybe catch the same muskie in a season or the next season, and it has distinguishing markings, and they catch it in the same area.
Sure, so you bet.
That's possible.
Hey. Of course.
Hey, excellent.
Well, good luck this weekend.
Great show. Yeah, I'll give you a report next week.
All right. Stay warm. Yeah. Okay, we got to go to a quick break. Danny, when we come back, we got a couple questions from a listener that emailed us this morning. All right.
That's what I like, intelligent questions.
So, these are actually good questions.
Can we answer them?
Yeah, we will answer them when we come back here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Oh, you found it.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thanks for listening. 799-1250 is the number.
You know, Danny, since you mentioned it,
what did I mention?
With this weather the way it is.
I didn't mention the weather.
No, but since you mentioned Skipper Buds, now's the time of the year that if you haven't had your boat winterized or wrapped for the winter, now's a good time. You better get it over there to Skipper Buds and have them take care of it.
Tom.
Yeah, what?
There's snow. There's ice.
Yeah.
If they don't know that by now, they're a knucklehead.
Well, there's still knuckleheads out there fishing, so.
Well, if they're a knucklehead that likes to fish.
Yeah.
Some people, if they have boats that they can keep in a garage, they just keep them going all winter, right? Yeah. You don't have to winterize it at all if you're going to use it fishing out.
If you're going to use it all the time.
Do you need a heated garage?
I don't think so. Not if you're going to use it all the time.
No.
It would be nice. But we got these. We got a phone caller. I was just going to get to these questions and we got a phone call.
You know, you
got
to relax when we get a phone call.
Yeah, I know.
We don't have to just jump and go right to the phone call.
I know.
All other radio shows leave 18 lines blinking at once.
And that's what I don't want to be like. I don't want to be like where these people wait online for 20 minutes, half an hour. I mean, I'd rather take their call.
That's true. Yeah, like we don't have
show.
To. Yeah.
You like the big show.
That's overboard. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's crazy. Who do you got, Billy?
This is Don, the muskie hunter.
Oh, hey, Don. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom, Danny.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I was on hold almost a minute.
Yeah.
Well, if I would have known it was you, you would have been on hold longer.
Tom doesn't let me finish my sentence when he sees a light blinking over there. Then you try and call Tom at home, you never get a hold of him.
I'm just calling to put a plug in for Palmaholic. Well, as I was in Wednesday, it was cold as hell. I think we're the only boat on the lake at 6 o'clock there. And he's got such a great setup. Warmest toast in that boat with his heater on.
Well, he takes a heater. What kind of heater does he take out on the boat?
He takes a big propane tank with a, it's an old heater. I got one of them, too, that sit on a propane tank. And
it's like,
just
like a Mr. Heater, right?
It ain't like a heating buddy, yeah. It's like a Mr. Heater.
Yeah.
He's got all those canvases on there and the side windows.
You know, so Paul's a great fisherman, good guy too. He's fun to go out with. And I'm glad before we get off, I got your cooler, which you brought me the tomatoes and pickles in or whatever it was, and it's I can drop it at the Muskie shop this weekend.
You can keep that.
Keep that?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't remember what it was.
Oh, it was just a little soft cooler. So yeah.
Hey, how many muskies did you catch with Ron? With Paul.
I caught a 37 and a 45, and I let a couple get off. One was a 43, he said. I didn't see it, of course, with my macular degeneration.
Right, right.
And the 45 was about 100 yards away. It took a lot of line. And with those damn left-hand reels that you got, it took me forever to get it in.
Well, so he's got left-handed bait casters. You know, I fished with Dan Johnson years ago, Ron Johnson's brother, on Lake Erie walleye trolling, and he had left-handed reels. And I know what you're talking about, Don. I felt like a clum klutz, and I can use a spinning reel with the wider, I don't know, circumference, diameter, but that little narrow turn.
There's a reason behind that. If you hold a reel that's if the reel's on the top of the rod. And you can reel with your right hand, okay?
Right.
And if the reel's underneath the rod, you can reel with your left hand, but not if you're right-handed, if the reel's on the top, to reel with your left. You try that, you know, do those different things, and it's so weird.
But I think it's just because you get used to it as a kid using a spinning reel that's automatically below and on the left. It's muscle memory and training.
Sure, exactly, yeah.
And I had, when I do the right-handed reel, I have the rod under my left armpit there, and I automatically put the rod under on that side, the left side, and I try to reel with the left hand, and it doesn't work too well.
Right.
I moved it over to the right side, and I was able to reel a lot better.
So basically, once you set the hook, Paul just went, sat down, had a smoke, drank a cup of coffee, came back, and eventually you had the thing by the boat.
Yeah. Well, that's great, Don. Congrats.
Yeah.
But Paul is great. I want to just put that plug in.
Yeah, well, Paul is a very good guy. Nice guy, too.
We'll have to give him a call at some point here soon.
We were on the boat, and we had half-pound Angus burgers.
Oh, yeah. Paul likes to eat.
Yeah.
And he's a great cook.
He brings good food with him.
He used to make great pork loins.
Yeah. He says, you want another one? I says, no, I think one is enough, a half-pound.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, Don. Thanks for calling. Don. See ya.
Oh, goodbye.
All right. See ya.
We had an operating Facebook page, Tom. He could post that picture of his 45-inch.
Yeah. Hey, Danny, there's two questions here. We'll take this one first about you.
One an hour.
It's about you, Dan.
Oh, great.
It says, Dan, you often talk about your days at Bible college. Were you ever planning to work in the ministry?
No. Let's see. No. But my cousin, he became a Baptist minister, and then later he was a chaplain in the Navy, I believe. Mm-hmm. We went to old Spencer Lake Bible camp up there in Wapaka, and it really wasn't. See, when I was going to that camp as a kid, the main thing I was interested in was fishing. And unfortunately, Spencer Lake was a crystal clear, kind of a spring-fed lake. They really didn't have much as far as fishing at that time. Yeah. Now, since that time, I think they've actually, I heard they got some muskies in there now.
Mm-hmm.
But we would go to another little lake. I think it was called Bass Lake. We'd go over to that lake and catch off the shore some nice bass and bluegills.
So this wasn't a Bible college, right?
No. Where I went to college was called Evangel College, which was a liberal arts Christian school through the Assemblies of God. And many of my friends did go there as Bible majors and are ministers today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. Throughout the U.S. of A.
All right.
And I was too bad of a kid, though. They almost kicked me out of the college. I got put on probation. Yeah, one time we broke into this storage room and picked a lock and went on top of the building. And at about 2 o'clock, when all these guys were coming back with their dates, kissing them goodbye down below, we were bombarding them with water, buckets of water and water balloons. And we got in trouble for that one. They eventually caught us and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, they put me on probation. They said, one more bush. They sent the letter home and they said, you're out of here.
And so you were on the straight and narrow ever since.
Not really. Just got smarter. I didn't get caught.
Okay. You didn't get caught as much, yeah. The other question is for me. It says, how did you get started with the Outdoor Wisconsin TV program, and what year was it? Well, it was 1984 is when we premiered, and I left it in 2014 after 30 years. How did I get started? They were putting together people for the show, and somebody had seen me at one of my seminars and told the producer director, said, you know, this guy might be good for this show that we're going to do. Now, we had to do a demo tape, and there was a job for the host, for the fishing educator, and there were for other producer jobs, you know. And I personally didn't think I'd be good as a host. I just wanted to do the fishing thing, you know. And Dan Small got the host job, and he had a great, what do they call that?
Audition.
Audition, thank you, audition tape. And I did my audition tape, and it was on buzzbaits and down at the little lagoon that's down by Lake Michigan, that one lagoon. And they liked it, and they hired me, you know, so... Because, see, at that time, I wasn't, you know, a lot of people, if they get in front of a camera or in front of a microphone, you know, we've seen that here, Danny, where people get nervous, you know, and nervous in front of a microphone is one thing, but getting nervous, you know, a lot of people get nervous if they know there's a TV camera on them, you know, or they get nervous if they're standing in front of a lot of people and got to give some kind of talk. And I mean, yes, I had a little bit of nerves early on when I started doing talks. I almost thought I was going to fall off the stage down at the Milwaukee Auditorium, you know. But the thing is that I wasn't nervous in front of the camera. And I guess that showed off that, you know, I wasn't nervous. I was just talking like I was talking to somebody, you know, just regular me and Joe, whatever, just talking. So they liked it. They hired me, and that was it. So, yeah. But 1984, yeah, it's been around a long time.
Next question.
Yeah.
We got any more?
No, that was just those two.
I thought we were going to save an hour.
From Mark and Ann.
We got to stretch our emails out, Tom.
Yeah, because
we got to ration them.
Yeah, we don't get a lot of emails, you know. Oh, wait a minute. We got more now. Hey, they just popped up.
It's getting hot here, Billy.
Here, this comes from JH. He said, good morning, boys. Hey, heading out to Phoenix next October, and I was wondering if you guys had the name and number of your buddy, Ron Johnson's guide service. Stay warm and hard waters. It's from Tex in a big truck.
Oh, I'm glad to hear from Tex again.
Actually,
I was worried about Tex. We hadn't heard from him in a long time, and I was worried about Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm happy now that I heard from Tex and Kevin.
Well, Tex, if you Google Ron Johnson's guide service Arizona, that should pop up, right?
Should. Otherwise, what I'll do, Tex, is I'll have Tom click reply, and during our break, I've got his cell phone number phone.
Oh, okay.
No, we just click
on
reply.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. You'll give me the number.
You know how to use an email, buddy?
Yes. You'll give me the number.
No, I'll come over and type it in myself and click send.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, keep it up there.
You can do that.
Hey, Tex, I never did get up to the Bay of Green Bay, so that, you know, I know you gave me your number way back when. And another thing, too, I thought, Tom, I heard Tex calling in on coast to coast in the middle of the night talking to George. I swear to God, I woke up and I was sleeping. I keep it playing at night. Yeah. I think he said Tex. So I'm just kind of wondering, Tex, was that you? Do you call? Or are you out driving? Because he gets lots of truck drivers calling him because it's the middle of the night.
Okay, last question, then we're going to a break. And all this needs is a yes or no answer from you, Danny.
It's hard to do, Tom.
This is from James. Yeah, I know.
I get nervous in front of people.
Yeah, right. Anyway, Danny, did you ever get a new tent?
Yes, I did.
All right.
Wait a second.
What?
No, I didn't.
No. I thought you did. No, you didn't.
I got a new blind. I was thinking blind at first.
No, because your tent poles were bad, but you said the tent was old, so you got rid of it.
I cut it up in little pieces.
And you're going to get a new tent, right?
That's the new plan for next spring for the big Smalley trip with Mark Horton. They're cheap enough.
Yeah.
You can get it $40-$50. You can get a. But I'm going to spend a little more money and make sure I get one that doesn't leak.
That's a good idea. Get one without the holes. Those holes are extra, you know.
Well, it's just, leakers are bad.
Hey, folks, we're going to be right back. Got to go to a break. Coming up next is the Gut Report. And then, of course, don't forget, at 6:45, we have the Hornswoggle brought to you by Carl's Country Market on Pilgrim and Silver Spring in Menominee Falls. So we'll be right back with more on either 1250 AM or 105.7 FM, The Fan.
I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. One of my favorite things when I go to a Chinese restaurant, maybe you like these too, you guys, crab wontons or crab rangoons. They always have those there. It seems like every Chinese restaurant has them. And they're crab rangoons.
Crab rangoons?
Yep, rangoons. They're excellent. Now, they're so easy to make at home. First of all, get a kettle with some oil in it, okay? Get, you know, so you can deep fry these things. You go and buy some wonton wraps. There's those little, like, 4-inch square wraps. You get them in the produce department at your local grocery store. And you mix together, you take softened cream cheese, some real crab or imitation crab, just dice up real finely some spring onions, you know, green onions. And if you want to add a little garlic powder to it, that's fine. But anyway, you mix that up, you put it in, put a dollop in the middle, and then you just kind of like, just push the ends up and squeeze them together. You might have to add a little water, you know, you squeeze them together so they hold. And then drop them in that oil that's about 350 degrees. It only takes a few minutes, not even a few minutes, it takes like about a minute for them to fry. And it's just like having the ones at the Chinese restaurant. They're so easy to make and they're so good, you might want to give that a try. The Gut Report was brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you'll find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow and Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Come here, I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
Danny, you might be interested in this. The town of Delafield is allowing bow hunting on city land this year. Now, if people want to get more information about that, you got to, you know, contact the Delafield Town Hall or whatever they got, you know, out there. You just contact them and find out what the deal is as far as bow hunting. They're allowing so many hunters on certain days to hunt on certain, you know, city-owned land. So, because they've got too many darn deer out there in Delafield. So they want to reduce the herd a little bit, Danny.
So, okay, so in Delafield, they're going to allow bow hunting and crossbow hunting, I'm guessing, then?
Yeah, I guess it's crossbow, too, but they just said bow hunting on city-owned land. So, basically, in the township of Delafield, you know, right in the area, but it's certain areas that you can go in.
Only problem is you'll have a bunch of meatheads fighting over the same spots.
Maybe not.
The Nicolet National Forest.
They're only allowing, you know, so many people on certain days, and they just want to take a certain amount of deer just to thin the herd a little bit, because I guess they got a lot of them going in people's yards and eating their gardens and flowers and whatever. So they're just going to do it themselves instead of hiring trained sharpshooters or whatever. So. Yeah.
Well, that's good, actually. That's actually good. Yeah.
It's a good idea.
And they should have more opportunities like that.
Yeah. So if people don't want to travel too far, just contact the town of Delafield and see what they have to say.
I mean, or you could contact me. I have like this herd of about 20 turkeys that continually are rolling through, wreaking havoc through our neighborhood.
You know, really?
Turkeys.
You got a pellet gun?
Turkeys.
I do.
I think you need a turkey license.
Now, I feel like I'd also need something bigger because those things are dense.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Certain animals act like they own the road. Now, like a squirrel and rabbit and even deer pretty much try and get out of the road. But
yeah, they know their lane.
But geese, ducks, and turkeys tend to walk across the road.
They take their time.
Like they're expecting the whole... You know, like it's an ornery woman in a crosswalk who's not going to walk one step faster saying, I dare you to hit me.
It's like the elderly person that walks through into the restaurant and you're going through and then they stop right into the doorway, right? And then they look around and see, oh, this is a nice place. And then you take a couple more steps and then you look around. Did we reserve the table? And then you take a couple more steps. What are you going to do? Are you going to push me over? Please do.
See, I slow down, but I don't stop for the geese and ducks. They got to get out of my way, and turkeys.
Yeah.
So I had them put out, you know, they were kind of walking all cool, like they weren't going to move.
Yeah.
And then they saw D. Bush coming down the road, and all of a sudden, whoa, they kind of put her in a little trot into the other lane.
Put it into gear.
Move or eat steel is my motto.
Yeah. You know, I was move or eat steel, yeah. Oh, God. You're so mean to the animals, Danny.
I had a buddy of mine. The night of the great snowstorm in Green Bay, and everybody's going, which one? When the Packers played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Steve Young was the quarterback, and Lynn Dickey was there, and I think it was John Jefferson in Lofton, and 16 inches of snow fell during the game. I was working at a Bally Fitness Club and got stranded there about, 4 o'clock. I was stuck. And my buddy, a guy named Lyman, came and picked me up in his four-wheel drive Jeep. And we drove all over town. And the town was like a ghost town. You'd pull up to a bar. You'd leave your vehicle right in the middle of the road. Just park right there and walk in. Yeah. And we went all around town. And this guy was a maniac. He was driving. And every time we went racing by someone, that's what he'd say. Move or eat steel. And, okay. And then one time he spun out. We bounced against a snowbank. We're in the opposite lane, nothing on the highway, of course. And with that Jeep, he just powered right out of it. But, that was a crazy night. Packers won that game, too.
Yes,
that's when,
Steve
Young had a terrible game and Lynn Dickey was, like, perfect in the snow game.
Yep.
Old people will remember that.
I remember that. I don't know if it's because I'm old or not, but I remember it.
Well, you are old.
Yeah, I know I am. Yeah. Hey, speaking of spinning out and stuff like that, remember a while back we were talking about how, you know, people drive goofy, you know, on the roads. And you got, and you know, I'm always under the belief like, hey, if somebody is that big of a rush and wants to get in front of me, you go right ahead. I'll slow down a little bit. You don't have to eat steel. You just go right ahead. I don't care,
right.
You know. Well, my son Andy was going to work on Tuesday, and he's got a Chevy Equinox, I think it is. And he's going down. He's in the right-hand lane. In the left-hand lane, there's a person in front of this other car that's going a little too slow. So the guy decides to, or actually it was a lady driver, decides to speed up to try to get in front of my son Andy, right? Well, she didn't make it. She ran into his car. He ended up on his side. His vehicle was on its side. Their vehicle was upside down on its hood.
So she tried to run this by me again. What did she do? He was ahead of her.
He was on the right-hand lane, she was in the left-hand lane, but there was a person in front of her that was going a little slow, so she wanted to get around that person.
So she wanted to cut into the right-hand lane and then back into the left fast lane and
whatever, or just get into the right-hand
lane. She sideswiped him?
No.
She lost control.
She hit him hard, and he flipped over on his side. We spent all of Tuesday night at Frederick Hospital in the emergency
room. With your son?
Yeah.
So she hit him. Okay, but, I mean, when you say hit him, did she lose control and hit him, or she just turned and didn't realize he was in her blind spot?
Well, she tried getting in front of him and didn't make it. In other words, she tried changing lanes in front of him, and she didn't make it.
She clipped him.
She went right into him.
She either didn't see him.
Or, I'm sure she saw him, I'm sure she saw him. But she was just trying to get in front of him.
So she gunned it to get it.
Yep. And he's just driving along.
He wasn't paying. He didn't see her coming?
No, just bam. Because
otherwise, you got to.
Bam. She creamed him. Yeah.
Wow.
So, but anyway, he had no serious injuries, but he does have a concussion. He's got some, what's that bone around the eye again?
The orbital.
Orbital bone.
I don't know what it is.
Well,
what is
it's something like that.
Around your eye
socket. Something with the O.
It sounded good.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Something with the O.
It was pre-med.
We'll go with that one.
Yeah,
he's pre-med before Bible major.
He's, swollen under his eye and got a bruise, and he's got bruises on his side and here and there. And so, because he was hanging on his side in the car, but a bunch of people were there. And actually pushed his car back onto its tires, and the one guy in his driver's door, his driver's door was okay. So the guy opened it up. He says, "Hey man, you better get out of here." He says, "Your car's smoking," but he was unconscious for a little bit there.
So have they got him in concussion protocol?
Yes. Yeah. He's
what did
he's
they do
home.
When they put you in that protocol?
I don't know.
They don't do. There's nothing you can do for it anyway.
No, there's not. No, you just
other than
let
tell
it,
you,
just
yeah,
let
your
it
concussion's
heal.
Worse
just
than
let
what
it,
you thought.
Yeah, just let it heal, so anyway, hopefully he'll be back to work.
I'm sorry
in about
to hear
week.
That,
yeah,
man. Was it a new vehicle that he had too?
Well,
that
got wiped out? It was new to him. It was a couple years old, but it was new to him, and it was totaled.
So it's totaled.
Oh yeah, it was totaled.
So his
windshield's gone. A couple of the other windows, all the airbags except the driver's front airbag were all popped, all these different airbags. This one side of his car that he ended up on, the damage. Oh, my goodness. I looked at it and I went, how did you not get more seriously hurt? If he didn't have a seatbelt on, he would be
seriously hurt. So did you have to get the phone call from the sheriff's department?
No.
Your son's been in an accident?
Actually, he works for Bell Ambulance, and he was on his way to work. And besides the paramedics from the fire department showing up there, so did Bell Ambulance. And it was people that he works with.
Mm.
And so one of the guys that he works with called me.
They realized he
me.
Was going to be a little late to work.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And so the guy called me and said, you might want to go down to Frederick. That's where Andy is. So anyway, we got to go to a break.
Wow. Eddie's okay. Well, slow down out there, people.
Yeah,
nothing is worth risking your life.
That's right. You can always replace vehicles, but you can't replace your life. Anyway, coming up next, call 799-1250 because we need a contestant for the Hornswoggle, which is sponsored by Carl's Country Market on Silver Spring and Pilgrim Road in Menominee Falls. The home of the great sausages and meats and all kinds of other good stuff. Danny's going to make three statements. You get two out of the three correct by saying if they're a Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle, and you will be the winner. So 799-1250, that's the phone number, 799-1250 for the Hornswoggle. You will win, by the way, a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market. Stay tuned for more with Danny Bush and Tom Neubauer. We'll be right back.
Ain't no doubt about it.
One of the best albums ever made.
It was okay.
I like
this.
It was good. I said one of the best.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Anyway.
Is my mic working?
Yeah, well, I can hear you.
Oh, you know why?
You don't have it plugged in.
No, I put the wrong headset on.
You got the Leroy Butler seat.
He grabbed the wrong headset. He's smooth, ain't he?
Can I hear smooth. Me now?
He's smooth.
Ooh, I'm slicker and snot on a doorknob. Welcome back to the Skipper Buds. Cutting Edge Outdoors. And we've got a lucky contestant for the Hornswoggle, Billy.
Yeah, it's Ralph out here in Milwaukee.
Hey, Ralph, how you doing, man?
Hey, all right.
All right, so here we go. Oh, Tom.
Yeah.
What can the winner of the Hornswoggle contest win?
A $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market. You know where that is? What's our caller's name?
Ralph.
Ralph. Ralph, you know where Carl's is?
Pilgrim Road.
Yeah, Pilgrim and Silver Spring. You got to stop there, check out all their stuff. The $10 gift certificate is worth it. It really is.
They do a good job of deer processing, too. So, and smoking fish is their specialty. So here we go. Wisconsin. The Wisconsin deer hunting season is here. And Wisconsin actually has had, in the past, does-only seasons, Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
No Hornswoggle?
That's a no Hornswoggle.
Yeah, very good.
Okay, Ralph.
Okay. All right. Right away, Ralph. That's one.
The world record whitetail was shot in Saskatchewan by a farmer by the name of Miley Hickenlooper.
Hornswoggle.
Miley Hickenlooper. You know, one of these days, Danny's going to have a weird name of somebody who did something, and it's going to be true. You know, one of these days.
Okay. Let's see if you would have got the last one. The 3006, the venerable 3006, is actually good out if you can place the shot out to 400 yards on a whitetail. It's got enough foot-pounds energy. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
No Hornswoggle.
No Hornswoggle.
Very good. Ralph, 3 for 3.
Ralph, you got 3 for 3. You sound a little unsure of yourself on a couple of them, like when I ask one of my kids in math class, what does X equal? And they go, 3? But you won. So right. We will get that sent out to you. And thanks for listening and playing. And have a good weekend there, pal.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, congratulations, Mark.
And I will mention that I will be mailing out his prize and last week's winner as well. I haven't mailed it out yet, being as I headed out of town right away after the show. And for the football contest winner,
Brian,
you'll be sending that out.
I'll be sending that out. The reason why you didn't get it already is because Nick never gave me your address. So, it'll be going in the mail on Monday. So you will get that, Brian. And I was going to mention it before the NFL football picking contest that comes out right after the 7:15 break. But I was going to mention it then. But since he called and said, hey, never got it. So you will get it. Anyway, that's about it.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, Danny, when that question before about Outdoor Wisconsin and when we started and how I got on it. You know, the weird thing was back in the 80s and 90s, you know, my sponsors at the time had me traveling a lot, you know. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you or maybe it's happened to one of our listeners, but I was going to, spending time in a lot of hotels, all right, in different parts of the country. And one time, now, whenever I would go to a hotel, I'd always leave the bathroom light on with the door cracked a little bit so I could see the light. So if I had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, I wouldn't be stubbing my toe on stuff. You know, I know where the bathroom is, you know, because, unfamiliar area.
Right.
Now, but one time I was in Atlanta and I woke up, sat up on the side of my bed, and honest to God, Danny, for 5 seconds, I had no idea where I was. It was like being in the Twilight Zone. I'm looking around like, where the heck am I? What is it? What is going on? And the hairs started standing up on my arms. You know, I was like, really? You know, I mean, I was scared. And then it started coming back to me where I was and blah, blah, blah. But I'll tell you what, for that 5 seconds, I literally thought I was in Rod Serling's Twilight Zone.
Was that like the only time that's happened to you?
Yeah, it just happened that one time.
Evidently, you haven't attended a lot of college frat parties.
No. Well, we did a fair share of drinking back when I was younger than that. But no, but this was, when you're traveling, you're ended up in different cities, you're in different hotels. But just to wake up and not know any clue, you're looking around like, where the hell, what is it? You know, I mean, that was, it was really scary. It really was. Maybe one of our listeners has had that effect. I don't know, or that experience, but that was.
You never woke up and. chewed your arm off to get out of there quietly.
And we will not reference that, Danny.
Only
Mr. Bible School guy. Only
hey, I'm looking here. A Lumacraft fishing boat clearance at Skipper Bud's.
Yeah.
They got an ad. We got our latest from the latest and greatest Wisconsin Outdoor Magazine, Badger Sportsman. 75 years in existence since 1943. Go pick up your copy today. But yeah, they got a nice ad in here, and they say Alumacraft fishing boat clearance, and this would make sense because it's that time of year.
Yeah.
And they got a beautiful, nice black one on. I talked about this before, how I think Alumacraft has improved their color schemes and styling, and they've always been a great. The venerable Alumacraft boats have always been very reliable, but I really, really like the styling.
Yeah, they're cool. And you know what my favorite part of a Badger Sportsman magazine?
The jokes on
I always go
howling
to the back,
at the
howling at the moon. I always go to the back end and read
those.
Some
of them
first.
Are a little politically incorrect, but they put a disclaimer.
Yeah, they do.
Saying that it's made to make you laugh, plain and simple. We believe if you take life too seriously, it's just not any fun. And you know what? They're right. In this politically correct world, I mean, you can't say anything without, oh my God, you offended somebody.
Yeah.
God forbid somebody feels like their feelings have been hurt and they're offended, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's some great pictures of some nice fish in here, too.
Oh, nice fish, nice deer.
Here's a 52-inch tiger muskie from a lake in Vilas County.
Yeah. When they say a lake in Vilas County, Danny, I give you one guess. What lake do you think it is?
Well, if it's a big tiger, viewed as air.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That lake seems to have, like, if somebody catches one up north, that's usually the lake where they come from. I mean, you can find tiger muskies in other lakes. I mean, but it's not, like, as common as it is in viewed as air. It just seems like they're just, those northern muskie are just randy for
now,
each other.
Here's a picture of a guy, and they give his name, and he's got the 52-inch from a lake in Vilas County, and then this must be his brother. Same last name, different first name, with a big, beautiful, true muskie, 48-inch, and it says unspecified Vilas County Lake.
Yeah.
Those are some
dandy
muskies.
You know, for years, people, you know, a lot of times you'll see the big fish. You know, you go into a town up in Boulder Junction area, whatever, and they'll have a – remember when they used to have muskies in the coolers? You know,
I remember
by the bait shops
they'd have everything.
Yeah.
They'd have a big bass.
Yeah.
They'd have a big northern.
Walleye,
and as a kid,
whatever.
Feature just enormous.
Yeah, and all the big muskies. And they always said, and they would have the person's name, the size of the fish, and then they would say what lake. And it so often it would say Vilas County Lake. You wouldn't believe how many people were looking for this Vilas County Lake. They thought that was the name of the lake. Vilas County Lake.
Well,
because they didn't want to say the name of the lake. It's like, so what? Who cares what name of the lake it is?
Well, you wait, but you're Mr. Lake X over there.
Well, I used to be until
look at the kettle calling
you,
the pot black.
Until you and John made me change it.
Not
I
always.
Had
you're still
people.
Secretive. All
now,
fishermen.
Now,
we, okay,
now,
I never
I got
lied
lake
to my
y.
buddies, but I just never told them entirely everything. You
Same
omit,
here.
Tell them enough.
Same here.
And let them figure the rest out.
That's right.
I learned more fishing from good guides. Steve Milliot was one friend and this and that. I learned more by watching what he did and listening for what he didn't say than what I did from what he did say.
Mm-hmm.
I read between. He'd tell me, and I'm like, okay, wait a second. So
you know what time it is?
What is time?
It's time for Billy Schmid. And the sports update. You all ready, Billy?
I'm actually kind of nervous. Do you want to do it, Tom?
So, actually, Tom, before we go to it, it's now time, before Billy's update, to do the rumba. Pick up some of the Cafe Rumba. That's my buddy Troy Woodrow's new product, and it should. He had some special promotion.
It looks good.
Pick that up. You mix it. I think they got a special going with Sprecher. You mix it with the root beer.
Yeah.
Pick some of this up on your way to go up north. I think you can get it at the Meyer. I think
you can
it's
get
there.
It all. You
and
probably
Woodman's.
Get it all over.
Woodman's
Meijer, Discount Liquor.
Yeah, it's rum cream with coffee.
Ooh, that
really
sounds good.
All
now
right,
we're talking.
That
Billy,
sounds good.
Let's
all right,
take it
now
away.
It's time for Billy Schmid and his sports update.